遊ぶ遅いや俺を張ってるやアリウィングマリアパウラドロフやカンドクシュクリアモグラスクリアどれ嫌うやアニロッケンロールホーナサソケルアビマルチェンケロウや
नमस्कार अनि स्वागत करता हूँ रिची तुमका आयचा सुशेगा दन पार कोंकनी रेडियो प्रोग्रामर मुझे संगता स्टूडियो दासा ज्योति अरोरा फ्रॉम स्टडी वेल इमिग्रेशन सॉल्यूशंस लिमिटेड अनिताचा संगता तसो वर्किंग पार्टनर अनि नौरो सत्विंदर अरोरा एंड देन ऑफ कोर्स आई हैव माय गुड फ्रेंड बैप्टिस्ट हु ऑलवेज कम्स टू गिव मी मॉरल सपोर्ट एंड वी हैव अ नाइस soft-spoken gentleman in Keith Fernandez. Good afternoon.
Did you say soft-spoken?
Yeah, very soft-spoken.
I don't think
Keith,
so.
Keith has to... No, Keith is very powerful, but it is he's soft, soft. Soft.
Softly he gives it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
So welcome to our Sushegat Danpar Konkani program and welcome Jyoti and Satwinder.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Hey, Jyoti, you have been in this business for 18 years, or rather this profession for 18 years.
Yes, that's right.
And it must have been a very long journey from Karnal in Haryana
to New Zealand.
Yes. Tell us how this journey started.
Actually, my father was retired army officer. So I have been to many places in India. I got to know the different cultures, traditions and norms of different people.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 2001, we started with the study well as a group of professionals, means me and my husband, Satwinder Pal. And we used to cater the language requirements of different people. We used to teach German, French and English. And thereafter in 2006, we started recruiting students to New Zealand education providers. And in 2012, because we were so much enticed with the New Zealand, you know, because it is a crime-free country, non-polluted, and so many factors which enticed us to migrate here in New Zealand. I did my MBA here in New Zealand, and I won 3 Outstanding Academic Achievement Awards. And thereafter, I did my immigration law so that I could cater to the, you know, immigration needs of different kind of people. And now we are here, and I'm licensed immigration advisor now.
Oh, wonderful. Lovely journey.
Thank you so much.
Satwinder doing all this time?
I was helping.
He was supporting her. He was actually cooking while she was studying.
Yes, that's true. That is no sell. Whenever he comes, I used to go.
He's the backbone.
Oh, he's the backbone. Okay.
He's the spine.
Because if a woman wants to do anything, she needs the support of her family.
Yes. Wow.
Family support is very essential.
Very important.
My kids and my husband, everyone supported me a lot. That's the
Thank you, Jyoti.
Oh, wow. You got a medal today, huh, Satwinder?
Yes, definitely.
Hey, tell me, Satwinder, your name. No, we were just having a discussion. Your name. There is Satwinder also. Now, Satwinder is a lady.
My name is Satwinder, but some people, you know, they call it like Satwinder as well, but it's Satwinder. And in Punjabi or Sikh community, I mean, you will find people with a, you know, similar name used by, you know, for the girls and for the males.
Oh, okay. So, some few examples.
Like Harpreet, Paramjeet, Satwinder. You can find people.
Lot of them.
Lot of, you know, males and female names.
Okay. Similar names. Going back to Jyoti's this thing, how do you, one becomes a licensed immigration officer, or I mean not officer, licensed immigration consultant,
advisor, consultant,
whatever name you want to give it.
We have to pursue a course, we have to complete it successfully, that is graduate diploma in New Zealand immigration advice, and that is provided by one of the institutes in New Zealand, that is Toyohumai, and the campus is in Tauranga. It is online course, and they always keep you on your toes because it is very demanding course. One has to complete any bachelor and 7 bands overall.
In IELTS. Okay. And
this is the eligibility
when you say
criteria.
Is it related to law? A lot of
yes, it is
legal.
Related to immigration law.
Okay.
Hi, Jyoti. I'm Keith here.
Hi. How are you?
So, is there a lot of money in being an immigration advisor?
It depends, you know.
Definitely.
The more you work, the more you get.
Yes. But you have to follow the, you know, code of conduct. You have to comply with the instructions because the people, they come to us with trust and confidence that their future is in our hands. So it is our responsibility to, you know, provide them proper advice according to the circumstances, their background, their interest and so on.
So who pays you? Is it the client that comes
client
to you
pays
for advice?
Us. Yeah, clients.
And
pay.
who would be your typical client? Are they from all over the world or from New
Yes,
Zealand?
They are. They are from throughout the world. And whosoever wants to come to New Zealand, they are our clients.
How would they know about you?
Actually, we are having our website. Plus, there is Immigration Advisors Authority. That is the regulatory body of New Zealand government, which provide us the license. So over their website also, there is a list of all immigration advisors who are registered ones. So they are credible, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, Jyoti.
There are many of these fleecing guys. So one has to have a look at the website before they go to a consultant or immigration advisor, as you call it.
Yes.
And that's the advice you would give to everyone, right? At the
yes, that's right.
So Jyoti, is there a continuing professional development program once you get license?
Yes.
So every year you have to renew your license?
Yes, we have to renew our license, and there is inspection procedure also. So that means they want to check whether we have complied with the instructions. We have not done anything wrong with the migrants. Means it is in the interest of the migrants to protect the migrants' interest. And every year we have to get it renewed. And we have the continuing professional development, which is essential, at least 20 hours per year.
So would you recommend somebody to be an immigration advisor as
yes,
a profession?
Yes, if they are ready to follow the compliance, if they are ready to fulfill all the compliance things, then yes. It is very interesting profession, and that is the reason my daughter Agrima, okay. She is also, you know, she is also pursuing her immigration law, and very soon she will be an advisor.
Oh, wonderful.
And she is in Rotorua. We have our branch office in Rotorua.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So, Study Well Immigration Solutions Limited, as the name goes.
Yes.
I presume that your focus is on students.
We started with the students in 2001. Like, students means we used to teach them, and thereafter we started recruiting students to New Zealand, and then we started with the other kind of visa categories.
How do you sort of recommend New Zealand to aspiring students in India or anywhere else? How do you recommend them, and what do you suggest to them before they decide on a program of studies in New Zealand?
Actually, I think they should come here, and this is very peaceful country. If they want the quality life, definitely New Zealand is one of the best destinations for them. And all of the courses here are approved and accredited by New Zealand Qualification Authority, so which is a regulatory body for all qualifications provided by any of the education providers. And secondly, it is a practical oriented country, means all of the courses are practical oriented rather than theory part and all mm-hmm. that, like in India or any other Asian countries. So most of the stress is given on theory part, but here practical part is more important. And to have work experience or to go into the industry, you need the practical knowledge rather than the theory part. So this is very good destination for the aspiring students.
Jyoti, on the subject of students, can you say about, give me three most asked questions that a student would ask you?
Okay, first of all, they ask me, like, how much is the IELTS or PTE requirement? Secondly, funding. Because funding is an issue sometimes for the students, because they want to study, but they don't have the funds to show. And thirdly, they ask me, like, how many hours will I be able to work? Because they have to fulfill, they have to maintain themselves in New Zealand. And sometimes they are not from very healthy financial background, so they have to manage the things. And they ask me, like, what is the pathway? Whether I'll be able to get any job here, whether I'll be able to settle here or not. So these are the questions.
So what we are saying is, if a student comes in, we don't see their skill set. What we see is, how do we do a course to get into the country?
I would suggest all of the students to come here on those kind of courses which they are interested in and which they can perform well. Suppose someone is very much good or very good at engineering or so, and we tell him, okay, you do management course, so he won't be able to perform well.
Right.
So this is the responsibility of the immigration advisor to let them know, like, these are the options available to you as per your factors, as per your circumstances, as per your interest, your area of study or work experience.
Last question on, yeah, on the student part, Jyoti. What is your success rate? How many?
Last year it was 91% success rate as per Immigration New Zealand website.
Okay.
Oh, wonderful.
Because they also publish your approval rate on their website.
So every year it is being published. So last year it was 91%, because we have been into the industry for the last 18 years. Uh-huh. We know the expectations of the Immigration New Zealand.
So you, where are you on the scale? Like, your first, second, third?
It's 90 and above is always the excellent one.
Okay. But is there anybody above you?
country specifically, maybe you can say we are in top 20 or top 25.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So in New Zealand, basically.
Yeah. So when a student approaches you and you sort of provide the student with a pathway based on his or her skill sets.
Yes.
What are the basic requirements in this country for a student to get in terms of IELTS
yes.
and grades, etc.? Can you give us a bit of a quick snapshot on that?
Yes. The first requirement is IELTS yeah. and their previous academic background and work experience and funding, because they need to show the funds for the complete course. Means uh-huh. they should be able to pay their fee, the course fee for every year, mm-hmm. and 15,000 per annum New Zealand dollars for their living expenses.
So what is the IELTS, minimum IELTS score for a student?
It depends upon the course. It varies from course to course.
Okay. So yeah. what is the lowest and what's the highest?
Highest, there is no limit. It can be 9.
Okay. And lowest?
Lowest is 5.5.
And so where do you take this IELTS course? Here in New Zealand or in the respective domestic country from where they come from?
Usually they do it in their home country.
Yeah.
From where they come, because it is the mandatory requirement to lodge the application.
There.
Yes.
Yeah. So I had heard that they have shifted the IELTS program to New Zealand. Is that right?
It means they have started the centers where they can teach them, like they can give them the practice how to do the IELTS and all that. Uh-huh. They teach the technique, and there are examination centers as well in New Zealand. So we can't say they have moved it here. They have provided the facility to the clients here, to the applicants here
you,
as well.
You can say examination centers here.
Yes.
So what is the minimum fees for a two-year or a three-year program or a graduate program?
So approximately,
what is the maximum depending? It varies from university.
Yeah, it varies from university to university. Usually the ITPs, means the industrial polytechnics, they are having lesser fee as compared to universities.
Okay.
And we always suggest them, like, if you are having the funding issues, so go for ITPs rather than universities, because there is practical orientation and the class size is also limited. Okay. But in universities, there are, you know, maybe 150 or 200 students. But in the ITPs, 20 or 30.
What about the money part of it?
Money part means
the fees.
The fee structure is around 18,000 to 24,000 per annum in ITPs.
Okay.
And in universities, it's around 1.5.
But there are
one and a half times. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It can be around like 30,000 to 35,000 per year.
So most of the people
per year.
Per year.
Oh wow.
So it's a huge difference, and the qualification would be similar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There are certain institute also which are private.
Yes.
And those who have come fly by night operators, somebody has failed and things like that. How do you guide the students not to go there or go there or whatever? How do you dissuade them not from going there? Let us say.
See, you must have heard in the the previous days also, like many of the private establishments, they have been stopped, they have been closed, because they were not confident in their quality education. Right. And New Zealand Qualification Authority, they keep an eye upon every education provider. Mm-hmm. So that is the reason most of them, we can say 80 to 90% of the private training establishments have been closed now.
Okay. So now there are very few.
Yes, okay. Yes, there are very few who are able to provide the quality education. Only they are able to stand themselves in the market, otherwise no.
Jyoti, is there an age limit for us to become, to have a student visa?
I came here when I was 40, and one of my clients...
Oh, you gave your age!
No, she said when I was 40, she came. So she
when I was 40.
She did not give the age. So she's still 40.
How long ago was that?
In 2012. I don't mind, actually. And one of my clients, she came here on student visa when she was 52.
There you go.
Yeah, so there's no age limit.
There is no age limit. But yes, we suggest them, because there is the age limit for residency. That is maximum 55.
55, yeah.
So you must have at least some gap, because everyone comes here for settlement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So is that the primary objective of most students, or how many of them go back to the country?
I don't think so. They go back because they have, once they become habitual of New Zealand atmosphere, New Zealand, you know, being a crime free country, no pollution, and
like Delhi.
So it's clean and green. So why they will go back?
It's a lifestyle.
After spending so much money, after investing so much money, efforts and time, I don't think so they will go back. But yes, if sometimes, you know, some students, they are not much sincere about their studies, they just waste their money and they have to go back if they don't get settled. Otherwise, I don't think so.
Some may take exception to you saying crime-free all the time.
See, we can say, but if we compare other countries, then yes, we can say it is somehow crime free.
Yeah.
So on that note, before we go on a break, is that what would be the damages for a student for a 4-year program, basically?
Mm-hmm. Total amount.
Total amount kitna ho jata, including.
Including
living
costs.
See, 15,000 per annum you need to show for your living expenses. So if it is for 4 years, 60,000. And plus 20,000 to 22,000 per annum for their course fee.
Okay, so it should be quite loaded.
So this much they need to show. But how much they spend, it depends upon their lifestyle as well.
Okay.
Course fee they will have to pay. But maintenance, it depends upon them, like how much, you know, they want to spend.
And during that time, they can study, work
they
for 20
will,
hours.
Yes, of course.
So they can make good
of
that money.
Yes, they are allowed to work 20 hours per week and full time during their vacation. So they can, yeah.
On that note, we'll listen to Tara Boom Boom.
Yeah, sure.
Boom Boom. Tara Boom Boom Boom.
Mogan potos puile bore dista, todos te toca sorrigonasta, agir baba dusmani un gusta, mokor kitle babre posta, horis to mok tara bum bum bum, tararara bum 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 bum, makasaba korina kai bum bum bum, tararara bum 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 bum, horis to mok tara bum bum bum, tararara bum 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 bum, kitere to mok tara bum bum bum. Vitor Sota, Ani Fulte de Vita Tota, Bum Saite Azaran Pore Cota, Tore Peguin Sazarat Levota. Itera tomou tuca poluita, Sucate a paina doloita, Zolaita ni paluita, Raza Pacha em Pazona loita. Horez tomou tara bum bum bum, tararara bum 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 bum, Aumbieta zai pun bum bum bum.
Have you tried Everest Coffee? Roasted right here in Auckland, Everest Coffee use the highest quality Arabica AA coffee beans, giving you an elite blend of taste and strength. Treat yourself to the Wonder Coffee Bean. Enjoy Everest Coffee. It's for the discerning coffee palate. Everest Coffee. It's coffee at its peak. Available now at New World or buy online at everestcoffee.co.nz.
Namaskar, tumi aikata Sushega Dunpar Konkani Radio Program 104.6 Planet FM Awir. Mujhe sangata zasa Jyoti Arora and itaso Noro Satwinder Arora both run immigration advisory business called Study Well Solutions Limited. And along with me is Keith Fernandez and Baptist Lobo to give me moral support and to keep quizzing Jyoti on various aspects of immigration into New Zealand.
We have to make an announcement, Richie.
Yes, we will do that, surely. Surely. Now, Jyoti, once students settle down here, get their qualifications and everything,
yes,
then the parents start quizzing them and saying, abhi shaadi kab karna hai?
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And so there are challenges around that, especially here. Sometimes students find their own partners here and it becomes much more easier.
Yes.
But then given our cultural orientation,
yeah,
parents put a lot of pressure. Yeah, aake thoda bhi dekh lo. Huh? We have got a girl for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so how does this policy work when you want to settle down
to
get your partner here?
Yeah, it's okay if they want to get married with a girl from their home country. It's fine. They can take their spouse here. Yeah, that's fine. So
what is the process?
they can apply for their partnership based temporary visa.
Okay.
And I think you must have heard the news regarding you want to talk about that.
Yes.
That's what
there has been certain
about.
Changes nowadays. Yeah. So what we want to get to it, yes, there was easy earlier to get married and get them here very easily.
Yeah.
But now government is tightening the screws there and putting a new.
There was an announcement that the parents must, the partners must have lived together for at least a year, then only they can sponsor their spouse.
Right.
But it has been reversed. It has been reversed because the thing is, there are few countries like India where the partners, they cannot live together before their marriage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is not an acceptable norm in India-like country.
Mm-hmm.
So, and most of the marriages are arranged marriages, means mm-hmm. their parents, they choose the girl or boy for their children.
Mm-hmm.
So, to honor the norms and traditions of the other countries, our New Zealand government, they has reversed this announcement.
Okay.
So now the rules will be the same. So no need to get panic. If you want to get married in your home country, enjoy your marriage. Take your spouse here with the similar instructions, similar policy instructions which were there.
Okay. So what is the process? So you have got your I presume that the student who's now found work has got residency here.
Yes.
And then he goes and marries a woman or man from
their home country.
Who doesn't have a residency. So how does that transition take place? They get some sort of a temporary visa?
Yes.
Add another dimension. Suppose the person is on work visa.
Mm-hmm.
Can he still get married and get the lady or boy here? So both those things, can you just tell us on that?
So it doesn't matter whether you have got your residency or work visa here. Yeah. Everyone can take their spouse here after marriage.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they need to show the evidences that they are in a genuine and stable relationship, which is likely to endure.
How do you define genuine and stable?
Means there are so many options. Like first is similar address proofs. They have been living together, although for some time after marriage, because we get many clients from India who get married over there and 15-20 days, whatever the leave sanction duration is there, they enjoy their time over there as a couple. Thereafter, the husband or wife, they come back to New Zealand to resume their work or employment commitment or their study commitment. There are students as well. So we have to show them they have been living together for maybe 15 days, 20 days or 1 month or 2 months or whatever. So these are the things. And secondly, financial interdependence. They need to prove that they are financially interdependent upon each other.
Mm-hmm.
Public recognition of their marriage. Or their relationship as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And they like to do the social activities and leisure activities together.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things which they need to show. And for this, they need to collect more and more documentation.
Mm-hmm.
So supporting documents to support all these things. So once it is done, they can. And definitely interview is conducted by the immigration so as to know whether they are in a genuine or stable relationship or not.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yes.
So, Jyoti, you said that this law has been reversed now.
Yes.
It's got back to the status quo as what it was before.
Yep.
Yes.
How long was the period when it was necessary to cohabit for 1 year before it was reversed?
See, earlier the
How long was the law which stated that you needed to be together for 1 year?
Just maybe 1 month or so, and that was just an announcement. It was not implemented.
It was not implemented. Yeah, that was a confusion that many people had.
Yeah.
But I was thinking this visa for the spouse has been held up for some of my people, which I talked to. I mean,
yes, that's
for
right.
For nine months. Some of them got rejected because of that 1 month.
Living togetherness, yeah.
So how did that then? If it was just an announcement, why did the immigration reject the visas?
Because they thought like New Zealand culture is everywhere. Because here the things are entirely different. Here the tradition and culture is different. Here norms are different. They can live together without marriage as well. But in India, it is not the case. Although it is legally allowed, but people don't accept it.
Okay. So leading to the same topic, if the norms are different here.
Yes.
And the laws they make is according to New Zealand laws and norms.
Yes.
Then do you think the Indian community, which actually was very vociferous in putting our culture right in doing what they did?
The thing is, once they have allowed the Indian students or Indian workers to be here, then their spouses and their family must be here for their emotional support. So this is always beneficial for the government also, New Zealand government also, if their families, the skilled migrants or the workers or whosoever they are here, they have been allowed to study here, to work here, or they are some of them are residents or citizens. So definitely wherever they are, their families must be reunited.
Yeah, that's pretty much why they have this particular reason, correct?
Yeah.
Then what was it that caused a doubt? What was it that cast suspicions on Indians that said, okay, no, you guys are rotting the system, just like in the students' case?
Yes. actually, the thing is sometimes
that caused them to even contemplate about having a different norm, so to speak.
Yeah, sometimes people, they misuse the policies.
Yeah.
That is the reason. Because sometimes they get married just for the sake of getting visas or so. So immigration might have tightened the things only due to this reason. Mm-hmm. But the problem is the genuine people, they also get
caught
lost
in that.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
They also get, so this is the issue.
Now the issue on getting visas for the spouses already married or whatever they are, has been sorted out or it's still...
It has been sorted out to some extent.
Okay.
But again, you need to prove yourself that you are in a genuine and stable relationship, which is likely to endure.
do you get clients who actively ask you to commit fraud?
Sometimes, yes, but we don't...
Encourage them.
Yeah, we don't encourage them. We tell them, like, these are the complications and finally you will be at a loss.
Are you recommended to report them?
The thing is, we don't take such kind of cases, but we don't report them sometimes.
All right, on that note, should we go on to a song?
Well, I could have some more questions.
You can shoot from your head.
To you, Baptist, what are you contemplating?
Contemplating on what?
Can you run a business of getting married again?
Business, yes. Not getting married again.
Not married.
Once is enough.
Yeah, once is enough as such. Now, Jyoti, what intrigues me in this particular policy is this whole aspect of an enduring marriage and an enduring relationship.
Yes.
And it gets a bit intrusive into your personal life.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it could be quite demanding upon a newly married couple.
Yes.
So, what is the advice that you as immigrant advisor give to these married couples of how you need to manage this?
How
because it could be, I've heard it could be very personal questions.
Yeah. So the thing is, they need to click more and more photographs wherever they go. Maybe they visit their family members or their relatives, or they go for outings, because sometimes they go for outings but they don't click photographs.
So is this the reason why Chinese are all the time clicking photographs?
Might be.
Could be a reason.
Yeah. And secondly, they need to collect all the documents which prove that they have been living together.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the ID cards with similar address, joint account.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things. And they need to show the financial interdependence as well.
Now suppose they've done all that.
Yeah.
But the presiding immigration officers decides that now that's not good, doesn't like it, and rejects the case.
Okay.
What can they do then?
We can complain about them. If we feel that we are satisfied and we have provided more than sufficient documents, and if they have proved well in their interview as well, and so if sometimes complaints... through the complaints, we have reversed the decision. And secondly, if they are not able to understand the things, then we reapply with more and more documents.
Okay, so you can reapply.
Of course, you can reapply many times.
And is there a higher authority to go to, or it's just the same officer you have to go back to?
No, the case officer would be different.
Okay.
Now, and sometimes the thing happens is the same file, same application with same documents, thus, one case officer is having different perspective and another is having different perspective. So, it happens.
So, what's been the your experience in this area? You say you've got 91% success in terms.
Yes.
Is it? Does that 91% include even marriage cases or only student cases?
Student cases.
So in marriage cases, what has been your experience? How far they have sort of...
We are having, you know, specialty in married cases as well. I have got many cases where they were having already 3-4 declines. Mm-hmm. And when I lodged the application, because they were having scanty documentation. So once they came to me, I told them these documents are very less, so I need more and more documents. I gave them the checklist after understanding their whole scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And once they, you know, compiled all of the documents, I submitted their application, and this way they were able to get it approved.
On that note, let us listen to a song by one of the famous singers in Goa, Lona Cordero, called Tuzumog.
Thank you.
Tuzomo, Kalzant, Koromo, Mozomo, Horej, Tonizmo, Kalize. Mozomok, horeč, to nizmok.
তুমি ঐকতা সুশেগা দন পার কোঙ্কনি রেডিও প্রোগ্রাম 104.6 প্ল্যানেট এফএম অ্যাওয়ে Baptist, before the break, you said I need to make a few announcements.
Yes,
the
Richard.
First one is that there is a whist drive and trivia. I don't know whether you're conducting the trivia or somebody else, but I know that you're conducting the whist drive.
Yes, trivia is conducted by Grace, Nesta's spouse.
Wife. Not spouse, wife.
Whatever you want to call it. I would say a partner if I'm in New Zealand.
Okay.
And it starts at 7:30, but you need to be there at around 7 o'clock to collect your tickets and understand the game. So you need to be there, and it is at Senior Citizens Hall, Blockhouse Bay
Community Center.
So community center.
Okay. There's another announcement. You know Neil and Clarissa Pimenter.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
They run a cafe at Marua Road.
Yep.
I believe that they are running a specials of 10% discount during the holiday season and during the Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are not doing anything in Jyoti, they're an excellent coffee maker couple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So please go and patronize them, the Marua Road Coffee.
Sure.
It's
sure.
in
sure.
Ellerslie.
Okay. Continuing on our discussion, now the...
Exciting.
exciting discussion. I think Baptist has found a profession and he's found a new business opportunity. He'll talk to you later on.
Okay.
Getting people married, is it?
Yeah. You're opening a marriage bureau, I believe.
So I told them, send all the marriage bureau people here.
Please hold that discussion till we finish the program.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we can discuss.
Yeah,
both of us.
Yeah. Now the student has found a spouse. They got married. And as usual, they have started a family.
Yeah.
And so now they decide to get their parents.
Yes.
Now, what's the process?
Recently, there are changes in the parent category.
Mm-hmm.
There are changes in the financial requirements. So if there is one sponsor for one parent, they need to have at least $106,000 per annum their, income.
The income part.
Income part.
Mm-hmm. Gross income.
Yes, gross income.
Mm-hmm.
So, if they want to sponsor their both of the parents, means father and mother, then $159,120 their gross income should be.
That is of one person or two persons, the families, that's the both?
If they want to sponsor both of their parents and one sponsor is there, means suppose husband's parents, then husband must have at least $159,120 per annum their salary.
Okay.
Their gross salary.
Mm-hmm.
And if the sponsor means the suppose husband's parents, one parent he wants to sponsor and he wants to club his wife's income as well, then for one parent, they need to have the same $159,120.
Wow.
And if they want to sponsor both of the parents and both of the means husband and wife, they club their income, then it will be $212,160.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And
wow.
How this has changed over from the original? What was the original?
The original, law? The original was
the 60. Earlier law. There is nothing original.
Original.
Yeah, we can say.
Change over, yes.
Yeah. So earlier it used to be $65,000 only for both of the parents. If only one sponsor is there. Not clubbing the income of his or her partner. And if they wanted to club the income, then only $90,000 for both of the parents.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it has changed significantly.
Yes, it has changed significantly.
So when you're saying both of the parents, it is club four sets, I mean, two of the male and two of the female?
No. Both parents means father and mother.
So that's of one
spouse.
Spouse.
One spouse.
So suppose
parents.
They want to sponsor both, then what happens?
Then they will have to do it,
year on year.
Yes.
I mean, 1 year you sponsor one set of parents.
And once they get approved, then they might sponsor. But again, they will have to check. Immigration will need to check whether they are able to sponsor the previous parents or not. Again, there will be announcements in February next year.
Okay.
So let's see how it works and how it will be done.
I think Baptist, that's why Shane Jones said, don't get a village here.
yeah, correct. But then the parents of both the partners should be, they would love their parents to be here. That was the reason.
So one by one.
Yeah. Now, My concern is this, that there is definitely a reason why these changes have taken place.
Yes, that's right.
And the 65,000 threshold that was there has now gone to 106,000 threshold
as
such.
Yes, that's right.
Has the burden of funding shifted from the parent to the sponsor, or from the sponsor to the parent? What is
No, no, no. From parent to the sponsor. Earlier, there was guaranteed lifetime income of applicants. Like, applicant means the parents, and they were able to show the settlement funds, that was $500,000. But now there will be no such criteria for, means the parents need not to show anything, only the sponsors will show the financial.
So isn't there a loophole according to you and me?
All Indians always
try to find some loophole somewhere. Isn't there a loophole?
Let's see how it works, because it will be, you know, it is just an announcement.
It's not yet implemented as a policy.
No, in February 2020, means next year, it will be implemented. And let's see, because we received the amendment circulars for the policy instructions. Uh-huh. We haven't yet received that. It is just an announcement.
So as at present, all the parents' visas have been put to a full stop, or...?
These are on hold because first of all, you have to lodge the expression of interest, and I would recommend all of the sponsors who have filed their expression of interest for their parents, right. If they are not eligible as per the new rules, they need to withdraw the application, and they will get the full refund from the Immigration New Zealand.
Okay, that's nice.
If the notification comes, then they do not get any refund, is it?
Let's see how it works.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, just a question. You get your parent here.
Yes.
So from day one, after they have been accepted, do they become a permanent resident?
Yes. Firstly, they come
so they
here
have,
as a
have resident. All the benefits of New Zealand tax laws and everything else?
I tell you, the thing is, nowadays, immigration has changed the rules for that as well. Because the thing is, migrants, they start misusing the policies. So that is the reason it has been stricken. And for the 10 years, suppose I have sponsored my parent for the next 10 years from their date of residency, I will need to provide them the food, accommodation and health services and all that stuff. And if they take any loan on behalf of fulfilling their requirements, I will be repaying that loan, not the parents.
Oh, okay. So now you brought in a bit of an angle as such here. You're saying that, as what Keith is asking the question, is that do they get all the benefits? You're saying that for health services, they have to pay for it, is it?
Yes, they need to pay for it.
At what pricing did they pay? They pay as international residents, or is it as a local resident?
That I'm not much aware of. For that, they need to go to the public health services and ask. How much is
that? Or they can have an insurance policy.
Of course, they go for insurance policy.
But at that age, the policy premiums are pretty expensive.
Very high, right. If they want their parents to be here, they will have to
pay. They'll have to do that, otherwise...
So this is a marked shift which I am seeing, that it is not just... that the onus has shifted to the sponsor for getting your parents, but even the health services and the other facilities that you need to provide has shifted to the sponsor.
The thing is, the main purpose of parent category is that to attract and retain skilled and productive migrants, while also limiting the cost of New Zealand government benefits.
Yep.
So that is
there. You go. That's what it is. That's nice.
The most important is the cost of.
Yes.
Oh, hold on. Now I'm a little confused.
Mm-hmm.
So, you get your parent.
Hmm.
Okay. They become a permanent resident because you've got them.
Huh.
So, how can you differentiate one permanent resident from another? Saying that this permanent resident gets all the benefits from New Zealand laws, but as a parent and a permanent resident, you don't. I don't think that's going to work.
See, I don't know exactly how it works. But the thing is, for the next 10 years, they must be responsible. They need to take the responsibility of their parents, food, accommodation and all that stuff.
So, So what I'm guessing is that they may not be permanent residents or citizens, but there must be a separate category under which they come.
Parent category, that is
maybe,
parent.
Maybe.
Yeah. That might
so
be.
As you say, as I think Keith, as Jyoti says,
so there's a dependent category.
This is just a policy announcement.
It is not implemented.
So let's see how it works. And
implementation would be.
We will get the instructions in February, the exact instructions. Then only we can let you know like how it will work. And
yeah, I just thought for our listeners listening in very intently, and most of us are migrants over here, you know, to get some clarification as to those who are coming in.
Yeah, so that can be done only after February.
Probably we will have something on our website once we get that clarification.
Would you be good enough to keep us posted so we
disseminate that information? Yes, I can.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah,
so this is going to be a bit of another contentious issue as such, if I may say so. So let's move on to migrant, skilled migrants. What is this category?
This is actually skilled migrant category, which is also called SMC, and it is for residence class visas. If you have any job which is skilled one and you are meeting the remuneration threshold and you are able to claim 160 points, you have the valid IELTS score of 6.5 bands, means you meet the English language eligibility criteria and your job description matches with the immigration policy, then you can apply for your residency.
So can you go a bit slowly, please?
Yes, sorry.
So first is who's a skilled migrant category? Who do you classify as skilled? IT, doctors, what is
everyone? Anyone who is having a job which is in the skill list.
Oh, there is a list.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. And now they have added few more occupations in that list recently, very recently.
So where can you get this list? On the
website?
On
the immigration website.
Okay. So this particular category has got a special sideline. They can sort of accelerate faster as such.
Yes.
So what's the turnaround time for them?
It depends, you know. Some people, even if they are on their post-study work visa open, if they get a job and they are having the eligibility criteria, they meet all the eligibility things, they can apply for their residency under skilled migrant.
They don't need to have a job.
They need to have a job because it depends, you know. It varies from person to person. Some people, they are able to claim the points of their previous work experience and they are able to meet at least 160 points to claim. Uh-huh. They can apply for their residency under skilled migrant category without the job offer as well.
How is this different from Silver Fern visa?
Silver Fern is kind of lottery.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, it's a kind of lottery, but now very, like in the very near future, they are going to close it with Silver Fern.
But what is Silver Fern?
Silver Fern is just a kind of lottery because, you know, you just apply online and only few applications in the lottery system will be, chosen, and you will be given 9 months visitor's visa to find a job, suitable job. Uh-huh.
So it's just a quick opening and close.
Yes.
So everybody is online on that day to get your application in. And how many people how many people do they allow?
And there is a capping system. So every year it's different.
Okay.
So very soon they are going to close it down.
So not worth the while pursuing as such.
Yeah.
So can you have more tips of how people should sort of apply for this skilled migrant?
Yeah.
Can you have some more tips as such?
Yeah,
which
sure.
are the people who are can you give a few names?
Yes, of course.
On SOL list, I think. It is called Specified Occupation List.
Yes. Recently they have announced a long list of low-skilled workers who were treated as low-skilled workers, but now they will be treated as mid-skilled workers if they are able to earn at least $25 per hour.
Wow.
And they have full-time job, because the thing is, it is to just fill the gap.
So who are these?
There is a long list, like childcare workers,
okay.
out-of-school hour workers,
okay.
and teacher's aide.
Okay.
Personal care assistants, they are able to earn actually $25. Machine operators, it is a long, sawmill operators, machine operators, and so on.
Oh.
Yeah.
So more of technical categories, not the professional.
These are
type.
Actually labor type of labor jobs, type. Okay. But these are in demand and the supply is very less. So to retain such kind of workers, they have opened it for the people who are able to manage 6.5 bands overall, 160 points to claim, $25 per hour, full-time job position. They can apply. And I have got many clients nowadays for such kind
categories.
Of... They are eligible under these. These are actually exception to instructions. So let's see how it works.
Oh, so here it is. So there are options available for lots of people. And
yes.
You should look out
yes.
for those
yes.
options
yes.
as such.
Yes, yes. That's
okay.
Right.
So, Jyoti, we are running out of time. It was a great pleasure. And as usual, Satwinder sat next to you and kept patting you and saying,
yes,
go on,
right.
go on, you're doing great.
Moral support.
Moral
yes.
support. Jyoti, I will give you 2 minutes. Exactly. Oh, sorry. 1 minute to give your punchline of your business and promote it.
Where we can get in touch with you? How our people will get in touch with you? How they correspond with you? And
to advertise, basically.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm Jyoti Arora from Study Well Immigration Solutions Limited. We have our office in Rotorua, Auckland, and in India. If you want to contact me, you can contact me on 0220-93-8830. And you can see my name on the Immigration Advisors Authority website as well.
Fantastic, Jyoti.
Lovely.
Thank you so
lovely.
Much.
Lovely. And
you.
Enjoy your evening.
You too.
And everybody enjoy the evening. Thanks a lot, Keith,
thank
for
you.
Coming at a short notice. And thank you, Baptist.
Deva Jai.